Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, and amen. And we have tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night. And tonight and tomorrow night, Dr. Brown will be ministering, and then on Tuesday night, we'll be ministering together. We'll probably do mainly just ministry time on Tuesday night, but don't miss any night. You don't know what God's going to do, you know. I said to Naomi this morning, she said, are you going to minister to the people this morning? I said, I have no idea. So whatever the Lord wants to do, that's what will happen. Amen. What I do know is that right now on the planet, you know, the enemy is raging against mankind. And the church is supposed to be the light in this world. And God is calling us to be that light. You know, we celebrate these feasts because these are special times that God has set apart. In the regular calendar that we have events that we celebrate every year, set times. Like in the United States, we celebrate 4th of July, we celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate different holidays. And at the same time, most people will celebrate Christmas and Easter or some different type of holiday. If you get a little calendar, maybe on your phone or something like that, you'll find that there's several different types of calendars, set times for specific people. Well, the Bible is clear that the feasts are the feasts of the Lord, and they are set times that He has set aside. Let's go to Leviticus 23, verse number 1. I'm going to quickly lay this foundation, and then we'll get right into things this morning. Leviticus 23, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. In other words, these are set times, holy convocations. These are my feasts. Everyone say, my feasts. And that's the Lord speaking. He's saying that the feasts are mine. In other words, these are holy convocations. These are set times that have been established by God. Now listen, if we're going to celebrate established holidays and established times in the natural from the point of view of like the 4th of July, how much more should we not celebrate set times of God? What's really interesting about these feasts, and we celebrate primarily, there are seven feasts, but we celebrate primarily three of them because God actually kind of highlights these, which is Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the three main feasts that we celebrate, but all the feasts are powerful, but these are the ones that we really continue to practice, to celebrate. Now, we don't celebrate them in a traditional sense because the Old Testament is a type and shadow, so we celebrate them in the spiritual sense. So God, whatever He did then, we celebrate now, and we receive from that spiritually. But God was moving then. How many of you know He will still move now? So if God is saying, this is a set time, I'm calling you at this time to myself, I want you to know that He wants to meet with you during this time. That's why He calls them holy convocations, set times. He says this, 6 days, verse number 3, 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, and you shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. That's interesting that these feasts are at appointed times. And you may not realize this, but many events that take place on the planet always seem to align with the feasts. For example, we celebrate Jesus' birth in December, but most scholars agree that Jesus was born during the time of Tabernacles. Now again, that's debatable, obviously, but many, many events, and if we had to sit here and go through it, you would be shocked how there's been shakings during feasts on the nations. So these are definitely times aligned with God. For example, also the Hebrew people, they celebrate Jubilees, which is 50 years. Now understand that Pentecost is 50 days. 50 years, the Jubilee stands for renewing, it's refreshing, it's like new vows, new beginnings, new starts. So Pentecost is kind of like 50 days, it's also a time of renewal. So it's very, very powerful. Now last night, I taught on how the first Pentecost was when God gave the law to Moses, to the children of Israel. And actually God had called the children of Israel to meet with Him at the foot of Mount Sinai. But the children of Israel rejected and said to God, listen, actually they said to Moses, Moses, listen, we don't want to talk to God because there was fire and there was thunder and there was smoke and there was lightning and the people were at the bottom of the mountain and they were like, this is too much for us. We don't want to go up. We don't want to speak with God. You know, Moses, you speak to God on our behalf. And so it is, even into the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, that the response from mankind, even today in the church, is, I don't really know if I want that. Because, you know, there's tongues of fire. There's a sound from heaven. It's a little uncomfortable, a little unsure about that. But what you will find out is that this is something extremely powerful. And this morning I want to go into this. I'm going to briefly read from the book of Acts. We'll start there. And then we'll go a little further. I'm still laying the foundation for this morning's message. What's really important is that you understand this, that many, many Christians get born again and they experience what we call the first feast, which is Passover. In other words, they get saved. They get delivered from their Egypt. The first Passover was when the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt and they went into the wilderness. They crossed the Red Sea, which represents our baptism, and they went into the wilderness. Most Christians will experience that. In fact, if you're a Christian, you've definitely experienced that. If you haven't been water baptized yet, do so. Amen. We have one soon. But that's what Passover represents. Unfortunately, many Christians stay at Passover. They never have their Pentecost experience. And I'm going to show you this morning just how important it is that every believer does have that experience. Every believer must experience the fullness of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That is the promise of the Father that he gave, that you and I would experience the fullness of God. In the Old Testament, after this event, it was only priests that would experience God's presence. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, so you and I can actually experience God's presence. It's been done for us. But we don't want to do it necessarily because of many reasons, but oftentimes because it's a little bit strange or unfamiliar. It's not supposed to be that way. Let's dive into the scriptures. Are you all okay? All right. So let's go to Acts 2, verse number 1. This is what happened on the first Pentecost in the early church, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to understand that up until this moment, the disciples had been fully prepared for this outpouring. They walked with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. They lived with him. He taught them. He showed them things. He prepared them for this. After his resurrection, we know that he came back and spent more time with the disciples, preparing them for this moment, for this outpouring. And what happened was Jesus actually instructed them. He said to them, listen, you know, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait for the promise of the Father to come upon you. I want you to wait until you are endued with power from on high. The disciples, as we know, had already received the Holy Spirit the day that Jesus encountered them the first time after his resurrection. The Bible tells us that he blew on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. So they already received their salvation. Now they were waiting to have a moment of being empowered by God to go out and do the work of the ministry. Is anybody out there? Yeah. All right. So they'd been spending time with Jesus. He was preparing them. He said to them, listen, that not too far from now, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be endowed with power. So he prepared them. He spent time with them. We don't know all the conversations that took place, but we can imagine that they were ready. And they were in the upper room. And they were busy praying in the upper room. And the Bible tells us exactly what I read just a few moments ago. Suddenly there came from heaven, verse number 2, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, I'm not going to break all this down for you, but I want you just to kind of get a feel of what took place. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Proselytes were those who had converted to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." This is so amazing to me, because you need to understand something, that in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They begin to speak in tongues. All the people from different nations come there. It says they were from Africa. It says they were from Asia. It says they were from all different parts of the world. Yes, they were all of Jewish religion, but they were from different parts of the world. The first thing I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit fell on any color. On every color. That there is no racism when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? We are all called to be one people. Whether we're black, white, Indian, whatever, doesn't matter. We are all called to be one people. And there is no racism. If you cannot be a racist and be a Christian, it's impossible. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, your neighbor is everyone around you. Who's my neighbor? Everyone. Well, Pastor Alex, who's my neighbor? Well, everyone. Everyone that you encounter. So we have to love them. Doesn't matter what they look like, what they sound like. I'm not going to say anything about smell. Let's just move on. Okay, let's go to verse number 12. "And so they were all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are all full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And this is so powerful to me, because we know that Joel, the prophet, actually spoke specifically about this event taking place. But I want you to think about this for just a moment. Because Peter is just a normal guy. And I want you to just kind of think about this. There is nothing special about him. He's not overly qualified. In fact, he was just a fisherman. He was not a biblical scholar of note like the Pharisees or like the religious teachers. He was just a fisherman that was Jewish and studied the word and loved God. And God chose him. And in this moment, this young guy that was full of all kinds of different issues and problems gets up and is about to quote scripture, knowing exactly what was prophesied for that specific moment. How did this happen? How is it that suddenly he can get up and say, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel? Your sons and daughters, they will prophesy, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He gets up and he gives this word, knowing exactly what's going on. And the reason why is because at that moment when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was changed. He was changed. And all of a sudden, it was no longer Peter, but it was this new man that was in him that was speaking through him. Remember, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's like it wakes you up. He comes upon you and empowers you, and everything that's in you, everything that God has placed in you, when it's necessary, it comes out. The Holy Spirit reminds you. The Holy Spirit teaches you. He reminds you of the things that you've learned, that you've seen, that you know. All of a sudden, Peter knew exactly what to do. And he preaches the sermon, and 3,000 people get added to the church that day. How is this possible? Have you read your Bible? Do you know what he was like? Because it wasn't him. It wasn't him at that moment. That's why Jesus made it very clear. He made it very, very clear. You guys, listen, don't even try and go out there and minister until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now I'm paraphrasing. Because if you do it like that, you'll do it the same way that everybody else does. With knowledge and the law. Are you with me, guys? Let's go a little deeper. Now, let's get to the actual sermon for today. Let's go to Acts 3, verse number 1. So this event had taken place. Things were beginning to shake in Jerusalem. But you must understand that it's still new. I mean, the Holy Spirit has just been poured out. And the Bible says in Acts 3:1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now this I love because, again, if we take a look at who we're talking about Peter and we're talking about John. John was known as one of the sons of thunder. Basically what happened was when Jesus was rejected, John turns around and says, listen, John and James say, listen, you know, why don't you just call fire from heaven and just let them be killed? Peter and John and James were always fighting over position. Who's going to sit at your right hand? Who's the most important? But something happened to them on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, something changed in them. There was no more competition because now what they were doing was they were trying to fulfill the mandate that they were given. You see, destiny and purpose had suddenly been realized. John became the apostle of love, the son of thunder. I think Jesus has got a great personality. Just do that. He knew exactly what John would say about himself. Okay. But you must understand what happened in the heart of John for him to even be able to write that. From being the one who says, smite them, to having a total heart transformation. And you see them walking together to the temple to go and pray. This is so powerful. They're in unity. The truth is, once the Holy Spirit has come upon you, prayer is no longer something that you feel that you have to do. Once the Holy Spirit empowers you and comes upon you, you begin to realize that it's no longer you that does anything. It's only Him. And as soon as you start thinking that it is you, that's when you get into trouble. You see, he realized it wasn't him. Can you imagine getting up and giving a sermon like that on the day of Pentecost? His whole life had been completely changed. He was no longer reckless Peter. He was now a real man of God. But he was still Peter at the same time. But when God began to speak through him, he would be able to say words that would bring transformation and change. He would be able to say words that were filled with life and power. And so now here the two of them are going up to prayer together in unity, and they're excited. They're going to pray. And the Bible says in verse number 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the great temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, look at us. Now this is powerful to me, because immediately when someone says, look at me, immediately you think, oh, this guy's full of pride. Listen, that's not at all what was going on. But what had happened is they had realized in that moment when he walked, this is how I see it, okay? And please understand, I'm giving you like a perspective, okay? But maybe you've never had this perspective. Here's John and Peter walking. They see the man at the gate Beautiful. And all of a sudden in Peter's heart, something happens. He can't explain it, but normally he'd probably want to cut the guy's ear off. I don't know, okay? But he sees him, and inside of him, something stirs up. And he looks at him and he says, he doesn't even know what's about to come out of his mouth. And he says, look at us. Because there's this presence, there's this overwhelming sense that God's about to do something. It's no longer him that's speaking, but it's Christ in him that's busy speaking. But he surrendered to it. How is it possible that he can do that? He can do it because he saw Jesus do it. Because Jesus told him he would do it. Because he walked with the Lord. He slept with the Lord. He was with him all the time. When you get saved and you begin to follow God and you become hungry for him and you begin to search the scriptures and you begin to long for him and you begin to speak to him and you begin to desire him, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, all you have to do is listen. And I think it's one of the things that Jesus actually taught Peter, listen, you need to learn how to listen. And in that moment, he said, look at us. Look at us. What's also important for us to understand, and if you take it just at that moment, that in that time, what had happened just previously before this was that the presence of God was supposed to be in the temple. But that was no longer the case, because the veil had been torn. And when these men were walking, and that man that was sitting there had a need, he needed to be healed, he needed to be delivered. 40 years they took him to that temple, 40 years. But the presence of God that was needed to give him the miracle that he had was no longer in the temple, it was in those two men. Are you with me? And I want you to know that you also carry that same presence. You also carry that same Holy Spirit that they carry. You carry him too. Oh yes, there must be an empowering. There must be a moment, because you see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside you so that you can be saved. But there must be a moment where he empowers you for ministry. And you are all called to be ministers. It's like the moment the lights go on. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen when someone has an encounter with the Holy Spirit for the first time, whether they've been saved for 1 month or 20 years, how the lights go on. How can I prove this biblically? Well, let's talk about again what Jesus said to his disciples. They'd been with him. They saw him raised from the dead. But Jesus insisted, you cannot go out until you are endued with power. They already had the Holy Spirit. But he said, you can't, because the problem is you're going to try and do it all in your own flesh with your mind. Peter could know, there's no way Peter could walk up to that guy and say, look at us. There's no way he could have done that if he didn't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because he was so great, it's just because he was chosen to do it. At that time, God picked him. He was not qualified. Thank God we have hope for us. Amen. So the first thing I want you to know is that the Spirit is now in us. You have to always be in a place where the presence of God is. If you want a miracle, if you want a breakthrough, you need to go and be around people that carry the presence of God. Amen. And that means that you must be a carrier. If you want healing in your home, in your family, if you want a breakthrough, you must be a carrier. You can be the one that brings the miracles into your house. Amen. You know, I said to the first group, I remember when I was younger, I remember seeing a miracle. I saw a miracle that was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, like, not like one that we, you know, someone gets touched and they get kind of like pain goes away. It was like totally unbelievable. I saw sores, big boils on somebody's body, and we prayed and immediately they disappeared. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. I'll never forget it. And I remember looking at it thinking, like, is that real? Like, this can't really be happening. I don't know if you know what I mean. And that's the difference, guys, is that if we want to see God move like that, we have to start to believe. You will never have that kind of faith without the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Because you have to get to the place where you trust fully in him and not in your abilities. That's why Paul made the statement. He said that we shouldn't trust in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Because it's the power of God. It's the Spirit of God. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that brings the change. Amen. Okay, let me move on. Otherwise, we'll be here till tonight's service. Amen. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. The next thing that we see from a Pentecost experience, I'm talking about Peter and John's Pentecost experience, is that we'll create an expectancy. Suddenly the man looked at them with an expectancy. Now I've heard many times, and I've even said this myself, more than likely it was an expectancy for some cash. Because he was begging. He was sitting at the gate begging for money. But yet there was still this expectancy. And you'll see by his response that he expected more than just money. The Holy Spirit's presence, when he comes upon you, will cause you to walk into places and people will suddenly believe that maybe God can just do a miracle for them. Maybe God can just touch that child. Maybe God can just bring healing to that family. Maybe God can just restore that marriage. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The next thing that happens is kind of in line with what I've been saying, is immediately you see how Peter gets into this moment. The guy's standing there looking at him, expecting to receive something. Again, put yourself in his position, and all of a sudden, he knows God's about to do something. What should he do? He says, in the name of Jesus. There's an authority that he's been given. There's a power that he's been given in the name of Jesus. You see, he knew. Remember, Jesus said to him, the same works you will do. You will do the same works. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He'd seen all this. He'd heard all this. And in this moment, this faith came over him, which is the key to miracles. The key to breakthrough is faith. You have to believe. If you don't think God will deliver your family, he won't. But in that moment, Peter just knew. He knew, and he said, with authority in the name of Jesus, it's in that name that every miracle takes place. It's in that name that every healing takes place. It's in that name that lives get changed. In the name of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he says to them, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, the authority that I've been given, I'm giving it to you now. Go and do as I have done. And there's many scriptures to confirm that. Go and do it. So Peter knew this. And when the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Holy Spirit would equip him and empower him and give him the boldness to step forward and do it. But you have to have a Pentecost experience before this will happen in your life. Let's go back to Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the poor people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the gate beautiful of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded. Now watch this. This is powerful. To the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man well walk? I want you to understand that Peter sees that the people are amazed. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, okay? The guy just gets up and walks. Everybody's shocked, just like I was saying earlier on. They're looking and they're like, this can't be happening. And he looks at them and he's like, why are you so amazed? But I want you to understand, he's making them understand, listen, you need to understand something. That I understand something. Peter's saying, I need you to understand that I understand something. This has nothing to do with me. Because something happened to us on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on us. And we were changed into the other man. And as I stand here with authority and power in the name of Jesus. And he is the one who healed him. He is the one who touched him. He is the one who changed him. Can you say amen? The glory always goes to God. But it's amazing because I think sometimes we skip over it. Can you imagine being in Peter's shoes in that moment? And then he said this in verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, The faith which came through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I think this is just so powerful because he's standing and he's trying to make sure that they understand that, listen, everything has changed. This is the Jesus that you guys put on the cross. This is him that is still busy working right now. And then he says this, yet know, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. And this is what I love so much. But those things which God foretold by the mouths of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Now watch. Repent, therefore, and be converted. When God begins to move this way in your life, in any way, once you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, it will automatically bring true repentance. It will automatically bring true transformation. Do you know, I've seen so many Christians that get saved, but they struggle. It's like, it's just so hard. It's just so difficult. They can't overcome sin. They struggle. They can't get a breakthrough. They're serving God, but it's just not happening. It's just not working. It's just too difficult. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, or the presence of the Holy Spirit's around, and you see God begin to move, it does something to your heart, and true repentance takes place, and it's like you just go to a whole different level. And then he says this, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's amazing, because that word refreshing in the Greek actually means to bring relief, to bring rest, to experience relief from trouble or from stress. So in other words, in that moment, it's kind of like, I always picture it like this. Imagine Paul. When Paul encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus says to him, why do you kick against the goads? In other words, you're trying so hard to do this religious thing. Why are you fighting? When the truth is, if you come to me, I will give you rest. You see, when the presence of God, once that encounter comes with God, is all of a sudden you enter into a season of true rest. That's what he's talking about when he says times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You can serve God, you can walk with God, but if you don't know his presence, you will never experience true refreshing. You will try and do it all in your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit to be the one who will walk you through it, who will empower you, who will equip you, who will strengthen you, and will show you that you can't overcome without him. You can't. I've tried. That word refreshing is only used once in the New Testament. Because it's so important for us to understand that it's only the Holy Spirit that can give us that kind of refreshing. It's only the Holy Spirit that can actually do that, can actually bring change. We can have a lot of knowledge. We can know about God, but you have to encounter him for yourself in order for you to be able to see transformation in your own life and even in the lives of others. Because it's like rivers of living water that just gush out once it starts happening. I've seen people in this church. I've seen them come into the church. I've seen them walk with God, but still struggle. And once they encounter the Holy Spirit, once the Holy Spirit comes upon them, just like on the day of Pentecost, everything changes. I've seen it happen so many times. The effects of Pentecost bring incredible transformation. Those effects, Peter gets up and says, it is for now and it is for all who are to come. Paraphrasing. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. He's for you, he's for me, he's for all of us, so that God can change us into who he's called us to be. You can never discover that without the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay this morning? It's very quiet in Vero Beach. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we just love you so much. We're so thankful for what you have already done this weekend. And Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that you came on the day of Pentecost Father, that you poured out your Spirit on all flesh so that we could have access to your presence. Because it's only in your presence that times of refreshing come. We want healing. We want deliverance. Father, we desire your presence because that's the place it comes. And so this morning, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for every life, for every person in this place. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will pour out on everyone in this place that desires you. There must be a desire. Like on that day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, in one accord. They were waiting. They were anticipating. They were excited. They couldn't wait for the Holy Spirit to come. We have to have that same hunger, that same desire. It was no different for the house of Cornelius. While Peter was just speaking, he couldn't even get to the place of prayer. They were so ready. They were so hungry for God that the Bible says that the Spirit of God fell upon them while he was still speaking. And the same thing happened that happened on the day of Pentecost. The same thing that happened to them happened to them in Cornelius' house. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is for you today. Today in this place. So I need to start with this. If you've come here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you need to make your life right with him, then this call is for you. If you don't know him and you need to get right with him, you can't experience the fullness of God if your life isn't right. But I want you to know that this is the moment where you can make your life right with him now. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I've served God, but I have never, ever had an encounter with the presence of God. I've never, ever surrendered my life to where God encounters me with his presence. If any one of those two things fits you and the Holy Spirit's pulling at your heart right now, and you just want to surrender to him, quickly slip your hand up so I can pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else say, Pastor, please include me. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else say, please include me in this prayer, Pastor. I need the Lord. Thank you. I need the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, young lady. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else just say, Pastor, that's me. I need to surrender today. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Last call. Anybody else? Quickly slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. I'll include you in the prayer. God bless you guys. God bless you. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.